The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffeehouse Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. And we are bringing you your second podcast on a Saturday. And that's because we have some bad news. The Prime Minister has delivered an impromptu press conference where he announced new COVID Christmas restrictions. This involves a new tier to the tier system in the shape of tier 4, and also changes to the Christmas rules no matter where in the UK you live. Isabel, what are the specifics of what the Prime Minister announced?
So there will be a new tier 4, and that'll be London and parts of the south, south and east of England going into that from midnight tonight. And that's essentially lockdown, but with religious services. So people will be instructed to stay at home, including on Christmas Day. There will be no mixing between households at all, not even on Christmas Day. The only mixing you can have is support bubbles where people are at particular risk of loneliness and isolation, or one member of one household meeting with one member of another household outdoors. And non-essential shops, personal care services such as hairdressers and nail bars will close. So that's for tier 4. And then tiers 1 to 3, 3 households will still be able to form a bubble on Christmas Day only, but no overnight stays.
And James, when the Prime Minister was announcing this in the press conference, one of the big justifications, or perhaps in a way the only one he was really putting forward, was this new strain of coronavirus, suggesting that it wasn't so much that he had misread the situation previously, but that a new strain of coronavirus, which spreads more easily, spreads more rapidly, it means that we are now effectively in a position where new tiers have to be put in place. What did he mean by that?
So I thought this was actually put most clearly by Chris Whitty, the chief medical officer. He essentially said that what is going on is that in the areas of a country which have the old strain, so the previous version of the virus, tier 3 is working. But the reason tier 3 is not working in Kent and other parts of the southeast is because the new strain is most common there. And essentially, this is the answer to the question that has been puzzling people, which is why had tier 3 proved effective in Liverpool and Bristol, but was proving so ineffective in Kent? Now, in the new tier 4 restrictions, with people not meant to leave their house or travel outside tier 4, and Whitty was quite clear that, you know, he doesn't want anyone leaving tonight, you know, getting the kind of last chopper out of Saigon style to leave the southeast, because he doesn't want this new mutation of the virus to spread from outside Kent and the rest of the southeast to the rest of the country. I have to say, given how long this new variation appears to have been in circulation in those places, I find it hard to believe that it won't spread to the rest of the country. But I think this is clearly a sign that things are bad. John Edmonds, Robert Peston, the political editor of ITV News, talking to John Edmonds, a member of Sage, who says that because of how much more transmissible this new version of the virus is, this is the worst moment in the pandemic so far in the UK. Now, both Whitty and Valance disagreed with that, arguing that the better treatments and the vaccine means that's not right. But it is clear that this new variation of the virus is complicating things. I think it is, though, also worth saying that, you know, that Boris Johnson was, as recently as Wednesday, arguing that he wasn't going to go back on these Christmas offers, and there is undoubtedly the doubt that cancelling this late means that families have made plans, they've spent money on a size of turkey that they probably wouldn't have spent money on if they'd known what the restrictions were, or that this was going to be even everywhere in the country it was going to be for one day only, and in London and the South East there would be no household mixing. And I think this will lead to lots of people saying that this government consistently kind of ops on the optimistic side and then has to tighten restrictions, rather than being pessimistic and then saying to people on the 15th of December, well, actually the data is looking better than we expected, so we can ease the rules up more over Christmas. There's obviously going to be a debate about that, but it does seem like this new virus has changed the debate about the transmissibility of the virus, and I think the decision to alert the World Health Organization to it. And I think that has more than 20 variations. It is quite clearly, does seem to be significantly different from the previous virus. Although it is worth noting that Patrick Vallance still seemed to think that the vaccines that have been developed were likely to work with even with this new variation of the virus.
Isabel, how do you think the Prime Minister's change of tack is going to land? I suppose first in terms of, public perception and also Tory MPs. We've already heard Mark Harper, the chairman of the COVID recovery group, saying that Parliament ought to be recalled and there should be a vote and so forth. I was just going to rephrase that Parliament ought to be recalled and that the government must publish a clear exit strategy. But ultimately, all the polling has suggested that a large chunk of the public did think the rules were too relaxed. And Boris Johnson and his team are very keen to say that it wasn't that he is divvied because they've only just got the data. We know there is a meeting with ministers today. So do you think this does fall into, a pattern that he's been accused of not making decisions quickly enough? Or do you think there's enough evidence to suggest that he didn't actually have what he needed up until the past 24 hours?
I'm not sure that the problem is him not making decisions quickly enough, or indeed him changing policy, as he argued at the press conference. When the facts change, you do have to change your policy. It's more the way in which he's stuck to decisions and mocked people, for instance, Keir Starmer, who have questioned those decisions or asked him to go further, saying that Starmer wants to cancel Christmas and Starmer is Captain Hindsight, and making all these sort of slightly jokey political comments about the decision that he's abiding by, only to 3 days later reverse that decision and go for what his opponents had been suggesting. And this is a pattern that we've had throughout the pandemic. And it's partly his optimism bias that we've talked about a lot, where he does hope that we are getting closer to this light at the end of the tunnel that he keeps talking about. But there's also, I think, a sort of campaigning aspect to this, where he has seen his response to the pandemic at times as being a campaigning opportunity, a chance for him to show a contrast between his leadership and the way in which Keir Starmer is always so cautious and sits on the fence over things. And that has really, I think, caused him to come a cropper a number of times. Now, if you talk about the public support and the polling on this, where the majority of the public have been saying over the past few weeks that they think that the current arrangements for Christmas are too lax and they'd be happy with tougher restrictions. If you talk to Conservative MPs about that, they say that they think that polling is rubbish. Not that the methodology used for carrying out the poll is wrong, but that people are in favour of tougher restrictions for other people who are doing bad things like spreading coronavirus, but that their personal infringements of the existing restrictions are entirely justified because of, you know, this reason and that reason. And I think we can all recognise that in ourselves, actually. It's been a feature throughout this pandemic of people going to shops, going to parks and saying, I can't believe how many people I saw when I was in this place too, without realising the irony of that. And that means that Conservative MPs actually think that the public support and the public tolerance for these measures is much lower than the polling is suggesting, which is why you've got Mark Harper, as you said, calling for a recall of Parliament. But you're also going to get a lot of Conservative MPs who, a couple of weeks ago, after the vote to reintroduce the tiering system, were saying that a further lockdown would be a leadership matter for Boris Johnson, and who were predicting, when I spoke to a few of them a couple of days ago, that they felt that there could be sort of misuse of the tier system and the way it had been approved at that previous vote, so that the government could go further than Conservative MPs had really felt they were giving their consent for. So I think we are going to see ructions in the Conservative Party over the next 24 hours over this.
And James, a lot of people, I'm just hearing anecdotally, but also we're seeing on social media and so forth, are ultimately saying, you know, why did they promise us Christmas in the first place? They're saying, you know, we could have understood the fact that we wouldn't be able to do much, but for the Prime Minister to suggest this could be on the cards has actually made it a much more painful experience for most people.
Yeah, I think this is undoubtedly a problem. I think if you look at the timeline of decision, I think in a way, the Four Nations discussions on Christmas begun on, I think, the 24th of November. That was kind of before we'd had kind of much of the vaccine good news that we've had recently. And there is an element in saying that now that we know that the vaccine means that next Christmas should be normal, and possibly even Easter this year, next year could be normal. But there was a case for saying to people, look, I'm sorry, Christmas this year is going to be rubbish, but we'll kind of make it up to you next year. And I think, you know, undoubtedly this change in plans this late in the day, you know, there are going to be, you know, and the fact that, you know, for example, non-essential retail has been shut in London and the South East, there'll be lots of people who hadn't kind of done their Christmas shopping, all this stuff. You know, the disruption to people's lives is going to be huge and considerable. There will be businesses that will be kind of thrown into even deeper trouble by these changes. So I think that is true. I think everything, to sound like a broken record on this, I think everything does now depend on how quickly the vaccine can be rolled out and how fast life can be returned to something approaching normal. Because I think that, you know, that is what people will, that is what people desperately want. They want some sense that they can have justified confidence that they will get back to normal at some point soon. But I don't think people are going to forget this Christmas in a while. You know, people clearly have been led to think that they could be able to do one thing and then it's changed. Now, you can say, don't you know there's a pandemic on? Or you can say that, you know, that the government should be more cautious about what it offered people. I think the other thing to watch is what happens in the rest of Europe. Is this strain only in the UK or is it in other places? Given the travel links between Kent and the continent, it would be surprising if a variant virus that started in Kent hasn't managed to travel across borders.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel. And thank you for listening. And we'll be back with further developments as and when we get them.